speaking to several of you already today, it seems to me that for most of us, this was a very long and challenging week. So I think that before we get into anything, we should take a second to pray and ask the Lord to reveal God's self to us. Gracious God, you know the burdens that we carry as we enter in this time together. And you know yourself what it is to carry such burdens. We thank you that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who instead knows what it is to be human. We trust, O God, that you are making something of us, and we ask that we might submit to that making and remaking, that we might be prepared for that which you have for us to do. Offer us your comfort, Holy Spirit, as we seek the face of God. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. When I was young, as you know, many long years ago, my grandmother was constantly making chocolate peanut butter oatmeal drop cookies, okay? Or maybe it just sort of felt like it was constant because every time I was over was a rare occasion, and so she wanted there to be something special for us to share together. But it felt like there was always wax paper sitting on the countertop with cookies set out to dry. In some communities, these cookies are called preacher cookies. So the story goes that if you saw the preacher coming from down the road, walking up to your homestead, that you had enough time to whip up a batch of these cookies and set them out to dry before the preacher got to your house. So you would have something to share. I love the idea that when you see the preacher coming, you get a gift. You prepare a welcome. You give this extension of hospitality a blessing. But the truth is that sometimes a visitor, the preacher and otherwise, is inconvenient. In the worst case scenario, sometimes those visitors are actually actively unwelcome. Have you ever known somebody like that? When they reach out to you, you feel dread in your stomach. You start to get a little anxious itch because you don't know what they're going to need or ask of you. This person, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, maybe a family member, is someone who ought to be a blessing in your life. It should be a positive to have them, but instead, they can be a burden, a problem, a curse. You don't know if they're going to come in and critique your house decor, if they're going to ask a bunch of invasive questions about your church attendance last week, if they're going to guilt trip you into helping them with something, and then when the time comes, they're actually not there and they leave you holding the bag. It's hardest, I feel like, when it's someone that you should be able to rely on, right? Someone who has the ability to be a burden lifter, but instead they are a burden layer. This is not about short-term scenarios of need. This is about someone who makes a lifelong habit of causing issues, whose very presence drags your spirit down, adding more than you need to your day. And oftentimes, these people don't even know that they're doing it. It is unfortunate, but unquestionably true, that Christians are often the worst offenders for this, both to other Christians and also to the world at large. Most people, if they see a group of Christians coming at a distance, begin preparing for the headache that would be the moral judgment they're going to get, the spiritual bypassing of their true and serious problems, or blame for their lack of faith. And sometimes Christians even come prepared with a nitpicky kind of list of who's in and who's out, according to what Jesus has taught. Sometimes Christians are the poorest reflection of good in the world. We might mean well, and we often do, but sometimes our actions bring more harm than good. This can mean the last blessing someone wants to receive is a Christian. What should have been a blessing turns into a curse. Our celebration today is about Palm Sunday, but we're not going to read the story of Palm Sunday and Jesus's triumphant entry. Instead, we're going to read a passage that for many Christians is connected to this celebration of the festival and Jewish practice and the presence of Jesus in Jerusalem in his last days. When Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, the people are proclaiming aloud the psalm that they would normally have sung whenever they gathered to celebrate a festival. It's a few days before the Passover, and there are a lot of people gathered here. And other than the man on a donkey, things are pretty normal. They're singing the songs they normally sing, gathering in the places they normally gather. As Jesus rides in, a part of this processional party into the city, the words of the psalm are echoed by the crowd. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So now that we're mindful of the context through which most Christians will read this story and text, as Jesus is entering the last days of his life, we're going to pull back and read the psalm, or at least a portion of it, and we're going to reflect on what larger truths might also be found within it. So we're going to read from Psalm 118. We'll be in verse 21 through 28. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you. Give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God and has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. So this psalm in Jewish tradition and practice is a psalm of celebration. You can tell even from the short section that we read that it is meant to be understood celebratorily. You almost can't help but imagine the songs that you could weave the lines of this psalm into, right? Tunes that start playing in your head. You could do a call and response for different sections of the psalm expressing this great joy that we find here. From our portion, we first hear the gratitude that the writer speaks of, that God has answered them and has delivered them. Even more than that, there is an acknowledgement that God did something that they understood to be impossible. A rejected stone, one that was set aside by the experts in the field, the builders, the best of the best, God has turned that into a foundation, a chief central key stone. How is this accomplished, you ask? Well, God did it. And all of the people are observing this miracle that God has done. And in the midst of this rejoicing, of remembering how great the day is that God has made, there comes a request. Save us, O God. Give us success, O Lord. This is a return to the power of God to offer salvation to the people. And it's an awareness that life might not be this joy-filled at every moment. Then we get a statement that follows, the verse that's best known from this passage. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Then the part directly following, we bless you from the house of the Lord, can be taken as the collective speakers offering sort of a communal blessing to others, or as the speakers speaking directly to the one that is blessed, offering a direct blessing. And I think both of these things can be true. This is a blessing externally to a larger community and also to individuals. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And the psalm then reminds the readers that God is the giver of light, the only true God. And so true is this statement that they then return to party mode. They say, let's dress up this party, this parade, with branches and leaves and vines and greenery, and let's go all the way in to God's house. We're not going to stop at the doorstep. because it's a little more spacious on the porch. Let's go all the way in to the house of the Lord. They're dancing, they're celebrating, they're praising, they're rejoicing. The last statement, an affirmation. You are our God, and we will give thanks to you and honor you. In this section of the psalm, joy is first and foremost what you see, and blessing following quickly behind it. Because of what the readers and those present in this moment of joy feel to be God's work in them and in the world and in their lives and for other people. So if we're reading this text through the lens of the psalm and not through the lens of the palms, we know that it can certainly be applied to Jesus, right? That's not really up for debate because Christ is blessed. Christ comes in God's name as God and therefore is a blessing. But if we're watching this psalm more closely, we can see that it is not just for Christ that this statement is true. It is also true for anyone who is a part of God's work. Because of God's work to choose and to redeem, to call by name God's people to save us, we ourselves are blessed. And it is a blessing that rests on us and offers us support and compassion and love, but that's only part of what this blessing means. If we could fully embrace this reality and be people of blessing for each other and everyone we interact with, and if we could share this gift of blessing with God, I think it would look a lot like this party. Maybe a parade is closer to the truth of it, but we would be a people for whom joy and communion is shared as a natural part of how we live in the world. To be true reflections of the psalm, we have to keep in mind the balance of the two blessing proclamations. Because you come in the name of God, you are blessed in your life. Hallelujah. And because you come in God's name, you should be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Living this out in our lives means intentionally being a blessing, so that when someone sees us coming, they breathe a sigh of relief. When we see each other in the grocery store, we get instant peace in our hearts. Our communities can be transformed if we serve as instruments of blessing to those who are poor, to those who are outside, to those who are unacceptable to polite society, whatever that's supposed to mean. It would mean being a blessing to those who the legal system neglects. It would mean being a blessing to those that society does not count. It would mean being a blessing to those who are chronically ill and disabled. It would mean being a blessing to the minimum wage workers. It would mean being a blessing to those who are alone. It would mean serving as a blessing to those who do not have work. God has chosen those who were unchosen, ones left outside, and according to the builders, with good reason. But God made those same stones central to the foundation of God's work in the world. This is true for each of us, and it is true for all of those we have not yet met, rejected and yet chosen by God. For living our lives in blessing, that we might be blessed in our life and serve as blessings in the world, we want to offer more than just words, positive emotions, but by changing ourselves, by changing our neighborhoods and our communities, and even the situations of the world, we might bring about a greater blessing for all people. These branches and the light of God can lead us in this parade, and that transformation might feel impossible to you, but God has already reminded us that what we perceive as limiting is not limiting to God. God, who has made blessings out of us, not just as a gift to keep for ourselves, but as one to inhabit the world in. So yes, certainly, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed is she who comes in the name of the Lord. And blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord. And blessed are we who come in the name of the Lord. And blessed are all who come in the name of the Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.